Let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have seven, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of five and grandmother of three, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531.
Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour and Shabbat Shalom to all of you who are listening on 1220 AM as well as on the World Wide Web, WHKRadio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, whose calling is to share biblical gold nuggets, particularly about the end times. And I hope you're taking notes. But listen, you can always re-listen to the show later in the week at shofarministries.net. So, as we do every week, let's ask God for his blessing on the program. And to all the listeners who have set aside their current cares of this life to receive more of Jesus through his word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity again to teach and share and bring out these gold nuggets in your word. We thank you for all our listeners. And this is a blessing to be able to participate in a ministry like this. We hold up all our listeners to you today, and we ask you to bless them. For those that have written in with requests for healings and for financial help, and we just ask that you would honor their requests as we put our faith in you, and you show us week by week how faithful you are. And we pray this in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. I want to just mention again that if you're listening to the radio 1220 AM and maybe it's just a little staticky and you feel like going to the webpage because it'll come in a little more clear, it is whkwradio.com. That's WHKW. Don't forget that extra W.
Oh.
Radio.com. Okay? Great. And I also want to give everyone an FYI to all the local listeners. Tonight at 6:30, we are having our biweekly assembly in Burton, Ohio. We have Messianic worship led by you, John.
That's right.
And if you need directions, just call 834-9006, area code 440. And next Thursday, July 15th, I will be teaching at Lakeshore Assembly of God in Mentor. And again, call that same number for directions.
And I'd like to remind you that this is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are still looking for seven more people to pledge $100 a month. That's only $3 a day.
Or $25 a week.
Or $25 a week. To help us stay on the air. If you're getting fed by what you're learning on this program, it's really not a high price to pay. And, of course, God will honor that and bless you in return. And we're thankful for any donation.
Of course, but at least if we could get seven more pledges of $100 per month, that would take care of it. So, again, if you're growing it with this program and you don't want to see us go off the air, then please prayerfully consider supporting us.
Yes, and we are your local
local
ministry.
We are kind of local.
We're very
small.
Focused on Cleveland, and yes. We're very focused on our listeners here and in Geauga County, Cuyahoga County, and all the places the radio, this signal reaches. And now we're going to start out with...
But, you know, you have to remember now that we're on the web.
Yes. Which can be the world, the whole world.
We have some Hawaii listeners. I know that's for a fact.
Well, that's out of Cuyahoga County, isn't it?
Yes, that is.
A little bit.
They were a little bigger than you thought.
Yes, we are. Well, anyway, we usually begin with, you know, what was important in the news last week. I want to ask you that, but I also want to tell people that we report the news not because we have a political slant that we want you to follow or anything like that. We report the news as it relates to biblical prophecy.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of times people think that I just can't stand our new president. And I have to say, no, you're wrong. I love our new president. I love him more than you can even imagine. Sort of reminds me of John in the book of Revelation, how the angel told him to take that book and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, at first it'll be bitter and then it'll be sweet. Well, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing awfully sad times because the demise of America and the economy and now the oil spill. We're seeing distress with perplexity, like Luke 21 says. And we're seeing the decline of morality and all that kind of stuff. And that is sad. But the sweet part of it is that these things have to happen before Jesus comes home. And thank goodness we have a man now that's going to take us right where we need to be.
Okay. So what did happen anyway this week?
We had a great day. There was a great meeting on Tuesday. Great meeting between Israel and Obama. And a lot of people were looking forward to seeing just how Obama's reaction was going to be after the snubbing.
Yeah, did it go better than the first one?
It certainly did, and we all knew that it would because yep. He's had a lot of pressure. And in fact, most commentators that I read are just actually calling it an episode in the Israeli United States soap opera. But Israel's visit was more about thawing the relationship between Obama than mm-hmm. it was about making any concrete decisions, at least on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have this feeling that they did talk a little bit more about, like, Iran and what they're going to do, and we'll never know about that until the time comes. And you know what? I don't want to know, because if we know, then everyone knows, and that's not important. Like, I mean, it doesn't help us at all to know those things.
That won't help.
Doesn't make a difference. But it was sort of like a fence mending, you know, because of what happened in March. And also, Obama's got to look at these upcoming elections in November. You know, and he can't get people mad at the Democrats. You know, they need the Jewish votes, and they need their money as well. So add that together with the pressure that Congress put on Obama. I understand like 337 of the 435 members actually got together, signed a bipartisan letter to Hillary Clinton expressing how the deep concern over the recent tension between, you know, Israel, our ally in the Mideast, and us. And they actually demanded that it be smoothed over quickly and in private. In fact, one senator even said that he believes that for the first time, Washington has actually switched sides.
Really?
Yeah, from Israel to the Arab side.
To the Arab nations.
I do think that our president is trying to turn us into a Muslim nation. I mean, the things that he's doing. And then I didn't even take notes on this. I just heard on the news actually this morning that he's trying to get NASA to include more Muslim scientists into their program.
So I
don't know exactly the details on that, but I'm sure you'll be able to read about it. But again, it's just changing America, and it's happening before our eyes. But I saw, a different president last Tuesday, especially. He said he was committed to Israel's security, and he pledged to back that up, not just with words, but with actions. Okay, so the two leaders kind of focused mainly on what they really saw eye to eye on,
mm-hmm.
okay, like Iran's nuclear ambitions, I'm sure was a huge topic. And I know Obama wants to get a peace agreement with Israel and the Arabs before the settlements that Israel agreed to freeze expires. Now, they agreed to not build on the land at all until after September. Yeah.
Settlements, yes. Mm-hmm.
So Obama wants to get some peace agreement reached before that, before they start building again, mm-hmm. because some of that land he wants to give to the Palestinians, okay?
Well, but it's not his to give.
I know. But you know what? The Arabs are starting to think that maybe they're not going to negotiate with Israel because Obama's going to do it for them, and that's the impression that he is giving them.
I'm sort of getting that impression.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
But tensions really remain still, and I don't think there was a lot of talk about it, although, again, we don't know everything. But from what's come out in the press, they didn't really talk a lot about that attack on the flotilla. Remember that?
Yes.
About a month ago. And then they didn't talk about extending that freeze, which Obama would really like to do. But, again, he kept it very light, as far as we know. Okay. But gone at Tuesday's press conference were like harsh demands on Israel that Obama said in March in unveiling at the first press conference. He was just so dogmatic, and he said starkly and boldly, he said, settlements have to be stopped. You know, and he was very emphatic about that. And with that single utterance, he distanced any chance of direct negotiations actually for months. You know, Israel, as you know, wouldn't go along with it, and that was the problem, and he left without even a photo shoot. But, again, the Palestinians believe that it's going to be Obama doing the negotiations and that they don't have to do it, but that's not going to work. It's not going to happen. So here's the bottom line. Obama's previous harsh approach brought about the weakening of the U.S. position as the closest friend of Israel, without result, as Obama now, I think, or should realize. And it is impossible to expect Netanyahu to pay a high political price at home and continue the freeze without being able to show significant political achievement, which he really hasn't seen and can't show. But the Palestinian newspapers, let's just say a brief comment about what they're saying in their newspapers. And they're saying the statement made by Obama following his meeting with Israel raises many questions, especially since Israel has not given lately any indications that it wants peace or even ready to make the effort to launch serious negotiations and help them to succeed. So they're saying, you know, Israel's not doing anything, blah, blah, blah. And they say we don't see anything new in the meeting between Obama and Netanyahu, apart from the ongoing United States backtracking on the pledge apparently made by President Obama after his election to end the occupation. He told the Palestinians he would establish a state, achieve peace, and end the occupation. So in other words, our president is calling Israel living their occupied land.
Yeah, the occupiers, as if it didn't belong to them.
Right. And I actually heard him say occupation on more than one occasion. So he is calling it an occupation.
It's an occupation. Well,
I'm sorry. Do you want to say something?
No. It surprises me that that it would be going this way.
God knows it. It's all the way it's supposed to be. There probably was, though, a lot of talk about Iran because of all the other stuff that we've been talking about on the last shows. You know, they could have talked over the phone almost on this other stuff. So I think that perhaps, you know, being that we do have Iran totally surrounded, as I mentioned last time,
yes,
with ours and Israeli military forces. And again, if you missed last week's program, you might want to go there and I named actually all the areas that are occupied by us or Israel.
Why don't you, you know, for the listeners, just name them again.
Oh, you think I
so
should?
We can, yeah, because I forgot.
Okay, let's see if I can remember. I know we got troops in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Kuwait, Iraq. I guess we got ships in the Persian Gulf, and we also have some military presence in Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, Caspian Sea, and of course I mentioned even Saudi Arabia has given some area in the area, northwestern area of Saudi Arabia by the city of Tobruk.
Okay.
And apparently they've got some Israel military there too, although Saudi Arabia is denying that, of course. But apparently they are there. And Turkey also has some troops, our troops, but right now they have turned against Israel big time. And they are partnering with Iran, so we don't know how long we will have a presence there at all.
Oh, okay. But Iran is definitely surrounded.
Yeah, by
troops.
It all around. So and that's probably scaring Iran, and it's probably their intention.
Yes.
And who knows if they ever really will attack or get rid of nuclear. But after reading Psalm 83 that I talked about a couple months ago, I think something's going to happen.
I think so, too.
I really do. But the thing about it is Iran wants something to happen because they think there has to be a war in order for their Messiah Mahdi
and
to come and rescue them.
Right.
So they want it.
They want it. The month of May in Israel, I heard, was spent with a lot of drills, with the gas masks, with the sirens, the alert systems, the medical response systems and things like that. They were actually testing all this stuff to make sure that it could work and work in a time of crisis. So they only do this when they're expecting something big.
That's true.
You know.
That's true. Oh, and another question I had, too, last week is they can't understand why President Obama is so blatant about his actions with the Muslims and actually telling Egypt that he is a Muslim,
mm-hmm.
which they weren't supposed to say but did admit that he said it. So they're asking, well, why is he being so blatant? And I think the reason is he really doesn't care about the reelection in 2012. I don't think he's
You don't think he's concerned
that.
With that, no.
I think he's more concerned about making his name worldwide.
Right.
And hoping that we get into global world before that. And he wants to be the owner
do you
of the
see,
world.
Do you see, does it seem like, do you see him that he sees himself as sort of a bridge between the Arab and the Western world? And there's a great opportunity to, like you say, do something historic to be remembered by.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, he's part of that big VIP group anyway. You know, they've gotten to him, even if he wasn't
the
star.
We've never had a president that was this close to the Arab world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people must think this could be a good thing, because if there's more of an understanding, it could lead to more peace.
Well, and that's why they're looking for crisis. They never let a good crisis go to waste.
Yes, isn't it Rahm Emanuel saying
that? Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Well, they all say it, really.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's what's going to help them justify what they do to get us to global government, which the Bible says is going to happen. So praise God and hallelujah, we're there.
So that's how this fulfills prophecy,
right.
Because
Amen.
We are moving definitely that way.
So shouldn't we be happy?
Yes, we should be very happy.
Very happy.
We should be very happy.
He's coming back soon.
And we should be happy, too, that, you know, we know God's coming back, too. Jesus is coming back soon for us, but we should be happy, too, that he's right here with us now.
That's right.
In the presence of his Holy Spirit, in the very workings that he does in our lives, that sometimes he answers prayers that we forget we even prayed.
I know.
We forget
I know.
We prayed those prayers,
yes.
And he's answered them. He's a loving God. He sends rain for the wicked and for the good.
That's right.
You know, he sends, you know, he's blessing everyone. But we can rest assured, we can count on him to deliver us through this time from this time of trouble that's coming upon the earth.
Absolutely.
And for the time of trouble that might be coming on you tomorrow or today,
right.
Or something, because
right.
he's right here, right now, God.
Yeah. I don't know anyone that isn't going through something right now anyway.
Yes.
If it's not, you know, physical, you know, hurts and stuff like that, it's family things, it's
yes.
jobs, economy, whatever it is.
Yes.
But it's just making us stronger because we're getting ready to leave.
Yes. And I know, and it does. And I'm learning. I think I'm finally learning to trust him more and more.
I think we always
with the roller coaster ride of my life that has been lately.
But you're not alone.
That he's on the roller coaster ride with me, and now I can actually enjoy the view. So,
that's right. But you know what? We're only here for one reason, and that's to choose where we want to spend eternity.
Yes.
And then to tell others about the same thing. That's the only reason.
That's the only reason here. God wants to see. God's interested in what our decision's going to be.
That's right.
He wants
to
know. And you know why? Because he gave us free choice. He didn't make us as robots.
Right. You can pray and pray and pray for your loved ones, which is what you should do, which means he'll keep pulling them more and more and more. But ultimately, it's their choice. And that's
mm-hmm.
why I think we are blessed to live in this time, because I think once that rapture occurs, that those that haven't made that decision, because of the work that we're doing right now by telling them what's going to happen, and it's
yes.
one reason why this show is on the air.
Right.
Is so that they will at least be a tribulation saint.
And they'll remember the things that their friends have told them,
that's
and
right.
they'll say, wow,
Amen
why didn't I listen? Well, okay.
In other news.
Oh, you got more news. Okay.
I do want to mention, too, that last Friday, the Grand Mufti, he's the big wig of the Arabs, at their weekly prayer service, you know, their weekly Sabbath is on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Over the loudspeaker, it was in Arabic, and I don't know if you've ever been in Israel, but they have these minarets that are constantly, like, saying Arabic prayers all the time.
Oh, I thought they just did it at certain times of the day.
Yes, but when I was there, it seemed like it was all the time, but I think it is certain times of the day. I know I woke up to it at 5:30
every morning.
Is that
where the guy goes up to? He's clear up on the top of the tower?
Yeah, but then after a while, they just have recording.
Oh, they have recording.
Stuff, okay. But in Arabic, it's going all the time. But apparently, last Friday, they actually said that the Jews are enemies of God. Now they're talking about Allah.
Mm.
And in other words, and of course, they are enemies of Allah because that's just a code name for Satan. But then they're given the wording to make you think that, in other words, what does God expect you to do because they're God's enemies?
Yes.
Kill them.
Kill them.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm not going to go there.
Wide open.
Wide open.
In Arab, kill the Jews.
Right.
In Israel.
I know.
In Israel.
Well, thank God there's many Arab people and people that are Muslim that are turning to the Lord Jesus as their Savior right now.
I heard that. Lots of them. Oh, praise God.
And there's a lot of them. They're not all.
That's
but
right.
Some of them are very disgruntled and they're disappointed and undereducated, maybe are poor.
Yeah.
And this stuff sounds pretty good. You know, always helps to have a scapegoat.
Well, even if you're moderate, though, you just wait around until you get the call. And then when you're told to do something in particular, then you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, until you know Jesus, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
But I do want to mention, too, that the president of Egypt, Mubarak,
mm-hmm.
as well as the Palestinian leader, Abbas, mm-hmm. I understand, both have cancer.
Oh.
Mubarak is very close, I guess, to dying. He's got esophageal cancer, and his son is getting ready to take over.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
This could change things.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He could be worse. Mubarak actually hasn't been all that bad. He's, actually signed a peace agreement many years ago, and although he hasn't been the best, he hasn't been the worst either.
Well, yes. I think he's been pretty good myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we don't know what behind.
Well, he's helped with that border on the Gaza Strip. Quite a bit. He's cooperated quite a bit, yes.
Okay, I'll go along with that. Now, the last thing before the break, I want to mention that Sweden has joined France and England in being very hostile to the Jews. Anti-Semitism is rising tremendously.
Yes, it is.
And the Jews have a decision to make right now, I apparently have heard. They need to either leave Europe. Well, they need to leave Europe, but where to go? Either United States or Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does God say about that?
Doesn't he say go to Israel? He's going to gather them.
And we don't have time to read it, but if you're taking notes at home, you could write down Jeremiah 16 around verse 14 and Jeremiah 23 around verse 7. And Isaiah 49 kind of goes along with that, too, about Israel going home.
Yes.
He was going to disperse them, which he did,
mm-hmm.
and then he would call them all back home. And they're finding tribes that they never even thought there was.
There's tribes in. They found tribes in India.
They
found them everywhere in Africa, and
that's right.
It is just
absolutely an amazing miracle that God is doing for the Jews to be scattered as much as they are, and still can speak Hebrew and come back home and be a people. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and friends, this is not talking about the returning from the captivities.
No.
This is talking about the end times when. God is going to start bringing them back.
Yeah, so that was all prophesied, too, that they would go to Babylon and then they would go back home. I mean, everything has been prophesied, which makes me know that the Bible is true. There's no other religious book that has been able to prophetically say the things and write down the things that it does and have it come true. None.
That's the test.
That's the acid test.
The prophecies, all of them, they come true. For myself, personally, I believe the Bible because it tells you the stories, warts and all.
Yes, it does. That's why it has to be true,
That's
right?
why it has to be true.
It was made up. They would only tell you good things.
Well, anyway, the lines will be open when we come back. We're going for a short break here. And if you have a question on the end times, please call us at 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD, 888-677-9673. Now, we cover a big area on the radio, and Sheila and I both would like to visit you at your church for an evening of messianic worship and a timely message. So tell your pastor, ask him to give us a call. Our number is 440-834-9006. And I'd like to add that we're still a 501c3, so all your gifts are tax deductible. And as we said before, donations are really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, to help keep us on, just send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or give through shofarministries.net. Use PayPal. And you can also purchase teaching DVDs for a donation of around $15, right?
Yeah, plus shipping and handling.
Okay.
And, again, we do need your help out there. 7 more people pledging $100 a month. We could handle the rest. You can call your pledge in on the air right here while we're here during the break, after the show, or just give Joe a call, even up to an hour probably. He's probably still hanging around. But basically, just let us know that you want to help us and pledge us. And if you know anyone that would want to do a commercial, sponsor the show by advertising their company, just let us know, please.
And, hey, yeah, now's the time.
Yeah.
This is the time to do something. It's time to do something for the Lord. Now, once again, those numbers, 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. Okay? Stay with us. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back. Take a little break here, and you'll hear a nice song from Los Lobos called Someday.
I love that song.
Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio.
Okay, so let me ask you. How many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kasalek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
Honey, are you ready to go to the Holiday Inn?
Oh, yeah. It's vacation time.
Well, it's sort of a vacation for the mind, body, and spirit. Actually, it's the Natural Health Expo, July 31st at the Holiday Inn in Independence.
Hey, that's a great location. It's easy to get to.
Be sure to tell them it's safe for the whole family because it's sponsored by 95.5 The Fish, the Other Side of Medicine radio program, and Nature's Food Market in Berlin, Ohio. With health lectures by doctors and pastors, a healing service, cooking demonstrations, entertainment, exhibitors, and more.
It sounds like a mini vacation.
Well, then, what are you waiting for? Call Dr. Chris Elsick's office at 440-519-1766. That's 440-519-1766. And tell him we're coming to the Natural Health Expo. It's only $5. A dollar from every ticket is donated to the Christian Foundation for Children and Aging.
I feel better already.
And if you're interested in being a vendor at this year's Natural Health Expo, booth sponsorships start at just $250. Please contact Tim Vaughn at 216-525-1818 for details.
When the wolves from the credit card company come knocking at your door, it takes a toll on everyone. The associates of the Debt Relief Desk want you to know you don't have to do this alone. In 1 5-minute free consultation, you can discover how debt negotiation can work to relieve the burden of overwhelming credit debt or medical bills. Get a professional debt negotiator to stand between you and your creditors. The Debt Relief Desk. Relief starts here. Call today. 800-375-1165. 800-375-1165.
Your goals include a college degree, traditional on campus or online, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Just starting college or ready to complete your degree, visit ChristianCollegesNow.com. ChristianCollegesNow.com features all the tools you'll need in your search for the best Christian college or seminary and the ideal degree program. It's as simple as search, find, apply. ChristianCollegesNow.com is your central hub for higher Christian education with tips, advice, and tools for advanced planning. It's time for more than just a diploma. It's time for ChristianCollegesNow.com.
Heavenly Father,
welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour, that song by Los Lobos, Someday.
Oh, that saxophone was gorgeous.
Yes, and the subject matter, Someday, Soon, we hope to see our Lord
and Savior.
I'm hoping
this year. I got to say it right now.
Okay, what? Okay, you got a date for us?
No. Don't you dare give me
okay.
that.
Well, how about September?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. How about a Rosh Hashanah?
I like that idea.
Okay.
They'll just have to go to our past archived shows on Rosh Hashanah and see what I think.
Yes, that's right. They can find
which happens to be the birthday of Adam, and, you know. Okay, enough of that. Anyway.
I feel a test coming here.
Yes, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you have initials?
Yeah, of course I have initials.
What are they, John?
They're JDB. Mm-hmm. And you, what are yours?
Mine's SAC.
Wow. Okay.
Do you think Jesus has initials?
Sure. Aleph Tav or
Alpha and the
Omega.
Very mm-hmm. good, which is the first and the last of mm-hmm. the alphabet, because he is the entire word. So every single letter in the alphabet is him, and he's the word.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a lot of sense. But do you think God has an initial?
I'm pretty sure he does.
But you know what? He only needs one.
Because he's God, right?
That's right. Amen.
He only needs one. Which one is it? Why, you know, 1 Timothy 2:8. Paul says, "I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands." Now, what does that mean?
Do you think that might fit into these initial things that I'm talking about?
I've got a Oh, yes. I think so. I think it just might. Yeah.
I think it
what
does.
What is that lifting up holy hands?
Well, before I answer that, let's go to the Old Testament for a minute, and let's look at some scriptures, and then we'll tie it all in together, okay?
Okay.
All right. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 2, it says, "Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You think maybe that's his initial?
Could be.
That could
sure
be.
Could be. Could be both, right? His name and, of course, would include his initial.
That's right. And then we have a scripture in 1 Kings 11, verse 36, and it says, Solomon talking to his son, "And to his son I will give one tribe, that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself, to put my name there." Now, unfortunately, this is radio, so I can't show them a picture. But what's absolutely amazing is that when you take all the buildings out of Jerusalem and look at just the landscaping,
from
with the hills and valleys,
from looking from space and down,
from, yes,
you know, from
down
way
on
up
top.
In the way up in the air,
like an airplane,
like an airplane. Let's see, bird's eye view.
That's right.
Yeah,
you will actually see the valleys form an initial, and it looks like a W, but in Hebrew it's called a sheen.
And the sheen looks very much like a W.
Yes, it does.
And the hills and the valleys make a geographical, there was that, or geological. W or sheen.
That's right, it does.
Now, what's important about the letter, the sheen letter in the?
Well, here's the thing. You look at the Kidron Valley and the Hinnom Valley, and then the Tyropian Valley that goes up the middle, and you have this letter sheen embedded in the landscape over Jerusalem, which is God's initial for Shaddai.
Oh, so that's how Shaddai starts, with the letter
sheen.
And that would be God's initials, wouldn't it? Or
that's right.
His initial.
And do you know I have the same initial?
Yes, you do.
Which I love having, but anyway. Yeah, so we have this sheen, and what I want to take back to what Paul tells Timothy, he says, he exhorts the men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Now, everybody out there that's listening, lift up your hands right now. And when you look into a mirror, what letter are you making?
Well, I'm just lifting up my hands right now, and it just looks like I'm
making God's initial of the sheen.
Right?
Well, doesn't this do that?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why Paul tells Timothy to make them raise their hands, because they're making the Lord's initial.
Oh, okay. Now, do I see, am I the initial, like from my chest upward?
Yes, your head's in the middle and your two hands on each side.
Ah, gotcha.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, there was another way that they could make the sheen.
Okay.
With just their fingers alone. Okay, and that would be to separate the first two from the last two and then stick the thumb out.
Okay.
And you have a what?
Well, it looks like a sheen or a W.
It sure does.
It looks a lot like that.
That's right.
And it looks like it looks like a Vulcan symbol from Star Trek too, that Dr. Spock is.
But he was Jewish, so he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, live long and prosper.
That's right. But what's also interesting is that they call it in the Bible, not when they don't lift up hands, but instead spread the fingers, it's called spreading their hands.
Or stretch out your hands.
Whatever.
That's what that means. See, that's wonderful to know Hebrew roots. And to know what a phrase like "stretch out your hands" actually means.
Making God's initial.
You're making
Hello.
God's initial. Yeah.
So, do you remember the seventh plague of hail in Egypt, Exodus 9:29 and 33?
Yes.
Moses told the people that when he spreads out his hands, the plague will stop, and it did. Much to Pharaoh's amazement, of course. But what was he doing? He was making God's initial.
God's initial.
Yeah. I love this.
Oh, that is just.
And then in Exodus 14:16, it says, "Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it."
Oh, so he had his rod
pointed
over the sea, and he had his
hand stretched out. It was God's initial.
Making God's initial. Wow.
And that's what separated the sea.
We should pray. And Paul, back to Timothy now, Paul says that we should pray like that all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
And or everywhere.
Yeah, and when you lay down prostrate sometimes to pray,
mm-hmm.
you should have your hands up, making the sheen
oh,
as you lay there. And then there's another example in Exodus 17. Remember Amalek came and fought the Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Israelites?
Yes.
And Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand.
Yes.
So they did what he told them to do. And Moses held up his hand. And when he did, they were winning. They prevailed.
Yes.
But whenever he lowered his hands, Amalek prevailed.
Hmm.
And then Moses' hands grew kind of weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So it's his hands being held up that they were winning.
And that was like what we first talked about, would you go look in the mirror and hold mm-hmm. both your hands up, and what you see is?
The sheen.
The sheen.
That's right.
Yes.
So,
and
wow.
Moses was doing that. And,
yes.
And plus, he had some help doing it, because I guess that battle went on for a long time.
But, John, do you know how many times I read that story, and I kept wondering, why in the world did they have to hold up his arms to do that? Why? What was the significance? And I didn't know it until I understood my Hebraic roots and understood that his initial is embedded in Jerusalem.
Wow.
That is incredible.
Now, see, you ask questions like that when you read. And, you know, folks listening at home, when you read your Bible and study it, you should ask questions like that too.
Absolutely.
Just don't look at it and think, oh, that's a funny way of putting it, and go to the next verse. Stop and ask God to show you and help you find out what
that's right.
something
and,
means.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I just lost it, so we'll keep
oh,
going.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I just think that's so cool. Oh,
when you pray, you ask the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and then... Might not happen the first day, the second day, the first week, or the first month. But in time, the Holy Spirit will lead you to the right person or the right radio station or whatever to hear the answer that you had in your mind 2 months ago.
Yes.
And it's amazing. It
and
happens
ask God.
So
He's
often.
Your Father. If you're safe, God's your Father. And when you ask Him, if you ask Him for a loaf of bread, He's not going to give you a snake, okay?
Amen.
Jesus said that, so... You just ask and be patient for the answer, and God will show you these things. And He has nuggets for you to unearth.
That's
not
right.
just the Reverend Sheila Crawford, but He
yes.
has nuggets that you can find yourself.
Anybody can.
And then when
I
you find one,
special.
And when you find one, call us and tell us.
Yeah,
what it is.
So I could be informed. That's
yeah,
what I'm doing
yeah.
for you, so you let me
yeah.
know. But in Numbers 6:24-27, which is how we close the show every week,
mm-hmm.
remember how... God told Moses to speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. And then we say the prayer. And then after that, it says in verse 27, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So he's telling them, put up your arms, put up mm-hmm. your hands, and put them on the people.
Wow.
And thus, that's putting my name on them, and I will bless them for it. So when you pray for your children,
mm-hmm.
why not make the sheen with your hands and put it on their shoulder?
Yes.
That's really blessing the children of you, but with God.
If you come out to Shofar Assembly tonight at 6 o'clock, I will show you how to do that. Or if you can't make it, you just... I'd like to say 6.
Yeah,
but,
really.
but if you still don't know, I really, this is going to sound silly, but if you have a chance where you can watch a rerun of Star Trek and you see Dr. Spock holding it,
yeah.
it's very much what he does
Could
when
be.
He,
That's what
when he does
thinking.
The Vulcan greeting.
Yeah.
Yes.
But anyway, now when you read scriptures like in Psalm 88, verse 9, where David says, I have called daily upon you, I have stretched out my hands. You
okay.
know why he said that and why he's doing that.
Okay.
I never knew that before. Job 11:13, when Zophar, I think that was his wife, urges Job to repent because he assumed, oh no, Zophar was his friend.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. you know. But he assumed Job must have sinned. So Zophar says, if you would prepare your heart and stretch out your hands toward him. So, in other words, that was the best
That's
way to pray and worship God.
And Paul, again, wants us to pray that way.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. why he says, exhort your people, Timothy, to raise their hands, praying and raising their hands.
Amen.
We have another one in 2 Chronicles 6:13.
the first dedication of the temple, was it not?
I think it was.
Yes.
Solomon knelt down and spread out his hands. That's what the Bible says.
Spread out his hands. How many times, Sheila, are we reading our Bible and we'll see a phrase that makes no sense to us whatsoever?
Because of our Western thought.
Because of our Western thought. But we'll just skip it because we're looking for some other meaning. And like you have told us time and time again that there is no superfluous, there's nothing extra in the Bible. Every word means something.
Every
phrase means something. There's a reason for it.
That's right.
And in this case, it's a pretty important reason.
I think so. Yeah. Knowing all this, can you see why God commands in his word, not just suggests, he commands us to lift up holy hands, and yet I never see it hardly at churches at all, even the pastors telling them. Paul says to raise your hands. Let's raise our hands.
Yes.
In fact, there's a church, and I won't mention what it is, but there's a church that won't let you raise your hands. I won't say who that is, but...
We won't say that.
That's sad to me.
Yes,
very
is.
Sad. Okay. But let's just go through the rest of these scriptures real quickly. If you are taking notes, you might just want to write them down.
Mm-hmm.
But Psalm 119:48 says, I will lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. Psalm 134, come bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place. Okay? And bless the Lord. Oh, I'm singing. How about that?
Bless the Lord.
That's right.
How about Psalm 28:2? Hear my voice when I lift up my hands. Psalm 63:4. Thus I will bless you while I live. How? I will lift up my
hands
in your name.
In your name. There's mention it too. And Lamentations 2:19, Jeremiah begs the Jews, lift your hands toward him. And also in 3:41, Lamentations, let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. And Nehemiah 8:6, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, while lifting up their hands, the people answered, Amen.
Amen. Isn't that cool?
It is cool.
And this is common practice.
This was common practice. So do you think Jesus did it?
Good question. I actually think when it says he lifted up his hands when he ascended.
Right, into, in Luke 24.
In Luke 24. And I believe when he had his hands lifted and he blessed them as he was going up into heaven, he was making
the
scene.
In fact, it says at verse 50, Jesus led them out as far as Bethany and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up to heaven. And there's other instances in the Bible, but that I think is enough to prove my point that when you worship God, raise your hands.
Yes.
Stop being, you know, afraid or whatever. And when you're in church, if it's a special moment for you, close your eyes and lift up your hands and pray unto the Lord.
You know, even when you're by yourself and you're praying.
Yeah, for
right?
sure. Because, absolutely.
Because Jesus said that, you know, if God who sees you praying in secret will reward you openly.
Right.
You know, but you can do it in the congregation. Most of us have our eyes closed anyway.
Right.
And when we're worshiping. And it's just, I have just felt, it's kind of humbling if you've never done it before, but, you know,
I suppose you're right.
God can work, God likes to work with people that are willing to humble themselves, whether, you know, you kneel, some people like to kneel and pray, and other people, hey, you know, lifting up the hands.
And it is a humbling experience, but that's exactly where God wants us. Amen.
Amen.
And I just want to point out again, in Numbers 6:22-27, which we'll say when we close here in a few minutes, that he says, the Lord bless you, the Lord make his face shine, the Lord look upon you. We're seeing the Lord mentioned three times, which is
which is the three
prongs
or whatever you thought of.
Yeah, and the Trinity, of course.
The Trinity.
Amen.
Hey, that
wow.
is just...
Well, I think that was a good lesson for people that should know that.
Yes, and if you don't know that, well, you can learn more. If you come out to Shofar Assembly, you can ask me what the... You know, I'll even sit down with you, and I will show you the Hebrew Aleph Bet, as it's called, and I will show you what a Sheen is, and I'll show you what a Tav is, and an Aleph, and everything in between, if you have the time.
We actually have a big grease board that we can write on.
Yes. Yeah, we've got all the newfangled stuff.
Yeah, right. So. I even have PowerPoint now, so that's pretty good.
Okay, so are we going to wrap it up here then? Well, hate to go so soon. If you are listening today and you've never asked Jesus personally to come into your heart and life, repent for your sins and do it right now before it's too late. Study the scripture and while you still can. Turn to your Messiah and he will give you light. Let me add to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path level.
Where's that at?
That is Proverbs, I think, 3, verses 5 and 6.
Good.
And that's a good one to remember and keep in your heart. Let us know if you have made a commitment recently to the Lord to ask him into your heart to forgive your sins. And if
right. I can maybe give you some advice on how to study and get going.
Yeah. And if anyone out there has a question, you don't necessarily want to call on the air, or you'd like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her. Sheila at shofarministries.net. That's Sheila, S-H-E-I. And a great study for beginners on DVD is Hebraic Roots Parts 1, 2, and 3, which is available on the webpage as well as shofarministries.net, or just give her a call, 440-834-9006. Any and all donations now are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots Ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. You will be blessed. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. And all the donations will put you on the monthly newsletter, on the email newsletter, or the real letter that comes in the mail, full of gold nuggets and current events of the last days here in America and Israel. Check out the webpage there, and the newsletters and the previous radio shows are all archived.
Okay.
Amen. We'd like to leave you with the Aaronic blessing today. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Till next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. From Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Thanks.
Those who love her shall prosper.
Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.
Hey, radio listeners, have you tried the Arbonne products yet? Arbonne offers premium quality beauty, health, and wellness products with targeted results. They employ consumer and clinical testing to reinforce their research and ensure their proprietary formulas deliver unparalleled performance. Nicole Marus is a Cleveland representative of these all-natural and non-toxic products who will give you a free consultation on proper maintenance of your particular skin type, along with free samples for you to try. Nothing to lose and a lot to gain. So be sure to give Nicole a call at 440-840-2176. You might also ask her how you can earn some extra money as well. Once again, that's 440-840-2176. And tell Nicole you heard about her on WHKWRadio.com.